Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. My guest today is State Senator Dave Valesky. Senator Valesky represents the 49th District that will soon become the 53rd. But more to the point today, he's a founding member of the Independent Democratic Caucus, a group originally of four, now five Democratic senators who caucus independently from the rest of the Democratic Party in the Senate. I think most of our listeners have by now learned of the new power-sharing arrangement they've entered into with the Senate Republicans, which will create a new leadership structure in the state Senate in Albany. But here's a one-sentence refresher course. The November elections have left the Senate about evenly divided between Republicans and Democrats, and the IDC cast its lot with the Republicans rather than the Democrats, and so determined the leadership structure. Senator Valesky, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Grant. Good to be back with you.
Well, judging by the reactions so far, I guess in politics, one man's Jimmy Stewart is another man's Judas Iscariot.
I suppose.
Was this decision by the IDC to join with the Republicans driven more by concerns about the legislative process or about concerns about the substance of policies, or both?
A little of both. And I think, first of all, it should really be seen as an extension of what has been happening over the past 2 years. And just as a quick refresher, back in January of 2011, when the previous legislative term began, I and three other Senate Democrats at the time made the decision to break with the mainline Senate Democratic Conference for a whole host of reasons, all of them having to do with the years 2009 and 2010 when we were in the majority being among the most dysfunctional and chaotic in recent memory. So we made that decision at that point based in the fact that we believe that the best governing comes from decisions that are made through the lens of bipartisan cooperation. And one of the things we saw time and time again in 2009 and 2010 was the notion that Democrats who were in charge controlled the entire agenda. There was no outreach with Republican senators, no cooperation, no give and take. And this is in a state where, and as you mentioned in your introduction, and it held true then and it still holds true now, about evenly divided our state Senate between Republicans and Democrats. And that, I think, much of the chaos and dysfunction came from that lack of bipartisan cooperation. So over these last 2 years, we, the IDC, have worked very closely with Governor Cuomo in enacting his legislative agenda in 2011 and in 2012, and also worked in many different ways with the Senate Republican majority that has existed over these last 2 years. So what the coalition government that we are now entering into, or will officially when we return in January, in many ways is an extension of the functionality of our state Senate that we have actually seen over the last 2 years, which, again, stands in stark contrast to where we were in terms of the most dysfunctional legislature in the nation.
But to follow up on that, why do you expect that the process this time around is going to be better than it could have been under, say, the following conditions, that your same group extracting an agreement with the rest of the Democrats to do the things that you're concerned about, to craft a more open process, to be more inclusive, as a condition of you joining with them? So what's the value added of going with the Republicans as opposed to the Democrats, given those concerns?
Well, for one, the Independent Democratic Conference, has not seen sufficient change in the Senate Democratic Conference to expect any different behavior that would come out of an all-Democratic majority as we were in 2009 and 2010. So that's number one, and I think that's very significant. Number two, again, goes back from my perspective, and I think from all of the IDC members, that, again, working in cooperative fashion in a bipartisan approach as opposed to a hyperpartisan approach, which is exactly what we had not so long ago, that working together in a cooperative fashion actually will, in fact, see a more functional state Senate, as we've seen over the most recent 2 years, but also this notion, and I'm sure you'll want to get into it at some point, this notion of bringing certain issues to the floor, progressive issues to the floor for votes. I use the example, and will continue to use it, what I consider to be the progressive issue of our time, the issue of same-sex marriage, marriage equality, a bill that was brought to the floor of the Senate when the Democrats were unilaterally in charge of not only the Senate but all government. Passed in the Assembly at that time, failed in the State Senate. Then in 2011, certainly through the leadership of Governor Cuomo, but brought to the floor again when the Republicans were in charge and actually was approved with almost all Democratic votes, both IDC and mainline Democrats, and as I'm sure most of your listeners know, four Republicans as well, to see that bill pass the Senate and ultimately signed into law by the governor. So that, and the significance of that issue as a progressive issue, gives me great confidence that we can, we meaning the IDC and Republicans in a governing coalition, see some progressive issues brought to the floor of the Senate.
Well, I do want to come back to some policy issues in a little bit, but let me stick with this process for a second and push you a little further on this. Again, though, why couldn't you go to, because the five of you are Democrats, presumably for a reason rather than Republicans, so why couldn't you go to the Democratic leadership and say, look, here are our concerns. We want things to be different. We want a clear promise that they're going to be different in the following ways, to lay out exactly what you just said to me. And if they're not, we're going to bail. We're going to go back and we're going to caucus with the Republicans. And that is, in a sense, your very real credible threat to get a change in the process.
First, I think it's worth saying Senator Jeff Klein, the leader of the Independent Democratic Conference, has had numerous conversations since Election Day with both Senator Skelos, the Republican leader, and Senator Sampson, the leader of the Senate Democratic Conference. So there have been those conversations, and I think that's important to note. So this is not a case of some predetermined outcome that the IDC had to work only with Republicans. That's simply not the case. Second of all, as we move forward, this is about, first and foremost, when we left, the reasons for which we left the Senate Democratic Conference 2 years ago are still there. So our priority in whether it was in discussions with Senator Sampson or Senator Skelos, we made it very clear that our goal when we go back in January and adopt a new set of rules for that will govern the Senate for the next 2-year term, that we believed it very important, based on our principles and our philosophy of putting governing ahead of politicking, that we wanted formal recognition of an independent third conference. Again, it has been happening informally over the last 2 years, but we want that formal recognition based on what we've been able to accomplish over these last 2 years. Once that happens, and once the laws are the rules, rather, are reflected to formally recognize the Independent Democratic Conference, we then now have a situation that's very similar to a parliamentary legislature. We will have three conferences, Senate Democrats, Independent Democrats, Senate Republicans, no one of the three having enough votes to, in effect, form a majority by themselves. So it became and it becomes very apparent that a coalition majority is the only way to move forward if, in fact, we have three distinct legislative conferences.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with State Senator Dave Valesky, a member of the Senate's Independent Democratic Conference. Well, one concern that has been raised in recent days about this decision has to do with race. There was a rally on Saturday about this with black state leaders. And the concern is that kind of this is, in a sense, I suppose, for an analogy to residents, as a white flight from Democratic Party leadership. Comments about that?
Well, a few of many that I could certainly offer. Senator Malcolm Smith, the newest member of the Independent Democratic Conference, from his perspective, saw the opportunity for bipartisan coalition government as being good for the state of New York. He, an African-American state senator who was the first temporary president of the Senate, in fact, back and was elected back in 2009. So I think that's significant. I think that the preeminent African-American leader today or one of the preeminent leaders of the African-American community today, former Governor David Patterson, the only non-white to ever hold the office of governor of the state of New York, has been very clear in his comments about how he perceives the effectiveness of this bipartisan coalition. So I think that is significant. Both Senator Klein and Senator Skelos have made it very clear that as we put together the coalition majority, and again acknowledging three distinct conferences, that we will create through committee chairmanships and other leadership opportunities the opportunity for other Senate Democrats to participate in this new form of government. They don't have to necessarily be a member of the IDC, in other words, to be considered for leadership positions, committee chairmanships, however that form may take.
Well, let's look at some policy issues now, and you mentioned them previously. You've recently said the following about the partnership, and you also reiterated this just a few minutes ago. Whether it's a vote on minimum wage or campaign finance reform or other progressive issues, I think we have a greater ability in the bipartisan coalition to get votes on these things.
Right.
So explain to me why there's a greater chance of getting those issues on the floor under this system than with a Democratic leadership structure, because those are all Democratic issues.
Right. If we go back to the period in time when the Senate Democrats were in charge, 2009 and 2010, the lack of bipartisan coalition and the fractious nature of the Senate Democratic Conference, of which I was a former member, led to much of the chaos and dysfunction that existed at that time. What did not happen then, and I'm convinced can happen under the new majority coalition, if there was a progressive issue at the time, every one of those Democratic senators, all 32, it took every Democratic vote to pass that bill. Now, in my opinion, and what I attempted to do at that point in time, and unfortunately was not successful, if there were issues that were important to Democratic constituencies and the Democratic Party in general, that were important to be brought to the floor. If all Democrats, for whatever reason, could not vote for that particular piece of legislation, then from my perspective, there should have been an outreach to the Republican conference at the time to speak with and determine whether there were votes available, more moderate votes from Republican members, many of whom represent significantly Democratic districts, and there could have been, in a sense, bipartisan support for an individual piece of legislation at the time, a progressive piece of legislation that could have led to its passage and by the way, at the same time, reduced that dysfunction and chaos that I keep talking about. That never happened. You know, one of the things about Albany that for whatever reason has developed over time, this notion that that there is a preordained outcome to a vote. In other words, a bill doesn't get to the floor unless it's preordained to have at least 32 votes. I happen to believe, and did when we were in the majority and continue to, that actually the process of getting a bill to the floor is good government. And if it fails on the floor, that doesn't indicate a weakness on the part of any leadership. In fact, it represents, from my opinion, a strength among the electorate because everybody gets to find out exactly where their senator stands. And if the bill goes down in defeat, it goes down in defeat. But that's real government. That's real democracy in my perspective.
So to boil it all down, almost if we could do this in kind of a yes or no way, it's what I'm hearing is that the experiences that you had in the past, and some of your colleagues have had in the past, ran so deep, and I guess in some cases were so scarring, that you just don't have the trust going forward that this will really change. That's what I'm hearing.
That's exactly you've said it much better than I could. Yes, that's exactly right, Grant. Yes.
What role will you be looking for in this new system? Will you be looking for a particular committee chair or a particular leadership role?
Those issues of what senator will chair what committee, all of that is up for conversation and being discussed, and you know, and may not be determined until, and I would anticipate until much closer to January 9th. You know, I have had a great opportunity over the last 2 years to chair the Senate Aging Committee, and I think we've done outstanding work through that committee, highlighted by our work with the EPIC program, the Elderly Pharmaceutical Insurance Coverage Program, which is critically important to so many seniors in New York and their ability to afford their prescription drug medications. So whether I'll continue to chair that committee or some other committee, that remains to be seen. But, you know, most importantly, providing good, solid representation for my constituents in the new, as you indicated in your introduction, the new 53rd Senate District. Is what's most important.
In case you've just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations, and I'm speaking with State Senator Dave Valesky. I have read that the governor was not involved in this process of establishing this coalition at all. I have to say, that's hard to believe right off the bat. And I'm even more suspicious of that, given that he has fared quite well in his office by having a Republican-controlled Senate. It's been very handy for him in the political dynamics in Albany, given some of the differences that he's had with the Assembly, and also his more general political positioning in the state and nationally, perhaps going forward in the future, higher office. So was there really no cue taking from him at all in this process, or some kind of informal blessings that were meted out through other folks?
Well, all I can say, I have not had any direct conversations with Governor Cuomo or members of his staff through this process. And the only thing I can offer would be to paraphrase what the governor has said publicly since Election Day. Very shortly after the elections, he himself had stated the what we believe is, again, to be critically important, that there are three conferences in the Senate. And he alluded to the fact that it wasn't as easy as maybe it used to be after elections, when all the Democrats came back together and Republicans were together and you had two sides. So he publicly made that very clear. Second, he put out last week, I think it was the day or a day or two after the formation of the majority coalition, an op-ed piece where he laid out his agenda for the coming session of many progressive issues, and said that this was the agenda that he wanted to see pass for the people of the state of New York. And in so many words, however it gets done in the Senate, as long as it gets done. The other thing that he's continued to repeat, even as recently as earlier this week, is that he believes, and I think correctly so, that the matter of governance in the Senate is a legislative issue, and it is not an executive issue. And interesting, your point about the British Parliament. One of the other obvious great differences of a parliamentary legislature and a representative legislature that we have here in the state and nation, you know, prime ministers or the head of the executive branch of government are legislators as well and member of that parliament, have the ability to dissolve parliament and so on and so forth. That's obviously not the case here. I doubt it will ever be the case here. But it's a very distinct difference between those two systems. And as a result, I think the governor is absolutely correct when he has stated on a number of different occasions that the formation of a majority within a legislative branch of government is the prerogative of the legislature. And that's exactly what we're doing.
Well, let me ask you another question looking forward. I know you're hesitant to sort of make guesses about how things will work out as it goes forward, but let's imagine that this does work. It's pretty successful. You mentioned earlier that you have a big tent, potentially. You're not trying to exclude people. Let's say you get a bunch of Democrats now saying, I want to join. At what point do you become too big for this to be meaningful anymore? Would the Republicans be threatened if you had not just five members, but 7, 8, 9?
No, I don't think they'd be threatened at all. And again, I think that is the degree that any senator is interested in governing over partisan political perspectives, or you know, coming from that perspective, that we're certainly open to do that. If the point about how successful this will be. Again, I think it's going to be very successful. And ultimately, going forward, this is really what I hear almost every day that I have been in office. When we are elected, I as a Democrat, others in other political parties, Republican and others, the people of my Senate district, and I think the vast majority of the people of this state, when they send us to Albany or they send members of Congress to Washington, they want us to work together to get things done. That's the mandate. If there's any mandate that comes from elections, that's the mandate that I always take to Albany with me. Figure out a way to make sure that the Senate in which you serve is working for us, for the taxpayers, for the people, in my case, of specifically coming up the 53rd Senate District, but the greater geographic area of Central New York. And that's what we're trying to do here. It's not about political parties in terms of the decisions we make and to whom we serve. We serve the people that elect us, not a political party on whose line we may run during an election.
Well, it's certainly going to be an interesting experiment.
Yes, it will.
An experiment in democracy. So let me get to the three questions at the end. And as we've done sometimes before on this program, I'd like you to answer them not from the perspective of your own life, because you've been on this program a couple times before in the past, but rather from the perspective of the IDC. So okay. This is the IDC's answer to these questions. First of all, what's the title of the chapter of life the IDC is currently living?
Fully knowing, by the way, that I have not discussed these questions with the other four members of the IDC. So at great risk, I'll answer them and hope they won't take offense. Title of the chapter of life would be A Work in Progress.
You were going to add to that?
Sorry. I was just going to say, as a reflection of where we've been over the last 2 years and where we're going in this new coalition majority.
Second, what is the IDC's worst trait?
Oh, I think at times impatience with how quickly we're able to bring about change in Albany is probably how I would answer that question.
And third, what achievement of the IDC so far has surprised you the most?
I think that the fact that in a what is typically known as a hyper-partisan legislature and a culture in Albany that in many ways fosters the status quo, that we have been able to be so effective in staying on our message and in making clear that we believe there is a better way to govern, despite a lot of forces in the, I'll call it the culture of Albany, that that is very set in a two-party structure or the way things have always gone. So it's been, I think it's been a great achievement thus far, and I look forward to taking it to new levels as we begin the 2013 session.
That was State Senator Dave Valesky. Senator Valesky, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO, Conversations in the Public Interest.